Well, let's get started. The name of this workshop is Relapse Biblical Prevention Strategies. And we have prayed several times, so we're just going to launch right into this. If you have a Bible, turn to Genesis 25, 29 through 34. Because I think this is an excellent picture of what the world calls relapse, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is. So Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34 says this. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." And therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What we want to key on here, and I believe this is in the Bible, to show us Esau's heart. And when you think about a birthright, it's what you have in this life, but also what is coming to you in the next life. It's your identity in Christ. It's your, it's much more. It's more symbolic of much more than just the stuff in this life. But what you see from Esau is a desire, because he's hungry, and because he doesn't esteem the value of his life and his eternal life. Here's a guy who is sold out to a temporary pleasure. Give me bean soup. And you know, when I first read this, you know, lentil stew, I was kind of like, lentil stew, really? You know? Couldn't he go for lobster and steak? I mean, wouldn't you? But I went to Russia this year, and I had some lentil stew. And I'm telling you, I understand this much better now. That was good stuff. So, I get it now. But it still doesn't make it right. Esau said, "I'm about to die, you know, of what use?" And you just see the exaggeration here. So much of how people who are enslaved to their own sin and despise their eternal inheritance, and people in the church even who are enslaved to addiction, have this type of attitude just before us here in Genesis 25. So I wanted to just give us a picture of what we're talking about here in terms of relapse. And relapse, defined in the clinical world, is just someone who has attained and or achieved, because it's all about self-works and self-righteousness, a significant period of sobriety and returns back to their addictive pleasure. They have relapsed. And their idea is based in fear. So what you hear are things like, you've got to go to 90 meetings in 90 days or else you will relapse. You've got to call your sponsor every day or you will relapse. And some of that's true, but the driving force is fear of a relapse rather than what we want to motivate people with as a Christ follower, is to be motivated by faith and love for God. So it's not, "I'm afraid to go back to my sin," or "I'm afraid I'll relapse," but it's, "I want to love God. This is a way I can glorify Him." And I think that addicts are much more motivated with the put on than they ever are with the put off. So if you're just talking about the put off, don't relapse, and you can't drink, and you got to be afraid of that, then you're not motivating them with the love of Christ. You're not motivating them with the relationship they can have in Christ. I mean, they can have a new life, a new relationship with God and with their spouse and with their parents and their children, and they can begin to be a server and a giver. So motivate them with those things rather than, if you don't work the 12 steps, if you don't do this, and you're going to relapse. Motivate them by what they can have and the transformation that is available them through Jesus Christ. That's why I love the word transformation more than the word recovery. Recovery is a good word, right? You have surgery, where do you want to be wheeled into? Which room? There's two rooms, recovery room or the morgue. So I'll take recovery. It's a good word. But there's a better word, a biblical word called transformation. And that's what we have to offer people, right? You can become like Christ. And the world can't offer that. So that's why our methodology and our message is far superior to what they have to offer. So biblically, a relapse is a voluntary choice. A voluntary choice to return to enslavement. And you see there in your notes, 2 Peter 2, verse 2, which is actually a good verse, but I meant 2 Peter 2, 22. And 2 actually makes sense, but we'll read 22 in the latter part B, just says, and there's a proverb about this as well, but it says, the dog returns to its own vomit. That's a wonderful picture, right? Right before lunch. And the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. But that is the picture of what, when you've been clean, you're returning back to your sin. That's what it looks like. And I use that quite often in the Proverbs one too. A relapse never happens by accident. It's never an oops. And even in secular counseling, they understand that too. It always displeases God. It often hurts others too, and it doesn't occur in isolation, and it's prompted by failing to flee from the devil. And what I try to do in counseling, if you're aware of Brent Oakwin's teaching on the heart of change, how he has the heart and then thoughts and emotions and the ultimate state, I like to take that and work backwards with it and use it when someone's blown it and help them to see, you know, what was their emotional state? What was their thought life? You know, what were they doing? And work back into their heart. Why did they want this so much? You know, what was it? And we'll look at some homework examples and applications here in a minute. But I like to work backwards using Brent's wonderful material. And then worldly terms associated with relapse, they use words like warning signs and triggers and relapse prevention strategies and so forth. It's interesting, in 1899, Dr. Benjamin Rush first used the word addict and used it as a noun and described it as a loss of control over the decision to drink. Loss of control over the decision to drink. Now today, you won't hear it phrased that way. They have a disease. It's not really a decision, it's just part of their disease. It's interesting how words change in our culture and our language and mean different things to different people. And so today people just run around and say, well, relapse is just part of the disease. It's just part of the disease. And I read that on a website recently. Somebody just, you know, relapse is part of the disease of addiction, like it has to be. And do people sin and fail? Yes. And just because they're off of the drug, we talked about that, doesn't mean they're living for Christ. So we don't want to cheapen repentance. We don't want to cheapen the fact that people need to be living for Jesus. I mean, if your goal is not to glorify God, then don't expect God to help you to accomplish that goal. I mean, if we really get down to it, how many of our goals are really, I want to glorify God in this? I mean, many times there's a selfish motive there. And so we can't expect, and our counselees can't expect, God to do something that's not going to glorify His name. He's in the business of glorifying Himself, and He uses us to do that. I remember a great example David Platt gave. I lived in Birmingham and was a member of that church, and he gave an example about his little son. They were going to chop wood or something, and his little son goes with him to share in this. And of course, you know, he's not going to give his son the axe. He's not going to give his son different elements in chopping the wood. But his son is there with him along the way and picking up the pieces and carrying different things and doing his little part as a little child. Well, that's kind of how God uses us, right? I mean, God doesn't always give us the axe. We can't handle the axe, right? But God involves us in the change of other people's lives, the transformation process, and never cheapen that, because God has called you, put you in a place where you can do ministry and affect lives for the kingdom.